comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Now, tonight, I'll be keeping my promise to you to share some of the high strangeness experienced here at The Kevin Smith Show over the past several days. I'll also, a little bit later, be opening the telephone lines so that we can discuss the UFO sightings reported yesterday, October 13th, you know. We may also even get into the story that's circulating out there about an entire Chinese village that disappeared yesterday. That's kind of spooky, isn't it? Well, we might get a chance to talk about that as well. Just a quick reminder, though, on Halloween, which is October the 31st, we will be having a special show, okay? It's not a regularly scheduled show, but we will be having a show on October 31st, a live show, and I am looking for some ghost hosts. Now, I explained this on a previous show. You may have heard it, you may not have, so let me explain it now. You know what a ghostwriter is, right? A ghostwriter is someone who comes on and he writes a book, and then he's using the information that the person who is promoted as being the author, he uses the basic information given by that person, writes the book, but then it has that other person's name on it. And so Joe Blow, the author, didn't really write it. It was his information, but it was written by a professional writer, a ghostwriter. Well, we're going to have ghost hosts. It works a little differently. Ghost host. Have you ever said to yourself, man, if I could just have, you know, if I could host one show, I've got some things I really would like to share with people. If I could just host one show, I'd be in nirvana. Well, I can't let you do the whole show, but on October the 31st, we're going to slice the show up into pieces, and each piece will have a ghost host. It won't be me, it'll be you, if you want to be a ghost host. So what you need to do, if you're interested, and I've already had a couple of people that have responded already, but here's what you need to do. What you need to do is go to the contact page and select suggestion, send me your name and telephone number as a suggestion, and just say, I want to be a ghost host. I will get in touch with you. Now, those two who have already sent in the request to be a ghost host, hang on to your hat. I will be contacting you within the next few days. I'll give you a call, and we'll talk about how this is done. And we look forward to you being the ghost host. You'll get your 15 to 20 minutes of fame. How does that sound? And you get to be a ghost host on The Kevin Smith Show. I'm looking forward to it. We have some really fantastic people in our audience, and I'm looking forward to those folks hosting the show. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Monday, I shared with you that there have been quite a number of high strangeness events taking place here at the Kevin Smith Show. And on Monday, I told you that over the weekend, we had experienced that. Little did I know on Monday that we had stepped into another scenario of very high strangeness. But by Tuesday evening, that fact, the fact that more high strangeness was afoot, became glaringly obvious to me. This high strangeness involved someone who had requested to be a guest on this show. The information that he wanted to discuss on the show was presented to me with words like shocking new information. So, naturally, I was interested. And that was on October the 3rd that I received that request. Now, on October the 11th, that was Monday, I telephoned him and scheduled him to be my guest for October 13th. That's pretty short notice, I agree. However, he was excited about being scheduled to be on the show, and he said that he was really looking forward to it. And so was I, because the information that he was going to discuss was his interview with a retired U.S. Air Force colonel who had given him a lot of information and details about a secret underground base that all of us have come to know as the Dulce Base. This guest had written a book about it and was scheduled, the book was scheduled to be published December 2010. His name is Anthony Sanchez. Now, before I go any further, let me point out something very important. The UFO community has earned, and I mean earned, a very nasty reputation, both inside the community and outside the community, for eating its own. Unfortunately, we've come to a point where philosophic cannibalism is the norm rather than the exception. You can see it on all the popular forums filled with posts from know-it-all, high and mighty, self-appointed experts who rip into anyone and everyone with whom they do not personally agree. Well, let me tell you, that is not going to happen here. Never has, and never will. There are, I'm quite certain, people out there who are literally salivating at the prospect that I'm about to disembowel Anthony Sanchez. To those people, I would say just one thing: get a life. Anthony Sanchez is a UFO researcher. He was scheduled to be a guest on this show, and I will show to him the same even-handedness that I would had he actually come on the show to share this information with us. But even-handedness means I will also not shy away from telling you of the very high strangeness brought to this show with the name Anthony Sanchez. Now, as I've stated, this quickly developed into high strangeness, and it was of such magnitude that it was highly disruptive to the Kevin Smith Show, and it required many hours of work and investigation on my part. Dealing with this strangeness required me to stop my normal schedule for producing the show, and that means that many normal necessary tasks had to go undone. It even required securing a guest at the last minute for last night's show. And even after all that, I've been able to discover and piece together some things, but I still cannot say that I have completely nailed down all the answers. Folks, I have no desire to create further problems for Mr. Sanchez. Nevertheless, you are owed an explanation. You are owed as much detail as I can provide. Why? Because of the fact that even though the show went on last night and with a very interesting guest, many of the normal activities that you've come to expect from the Kevin Smith Show had to be dropped while dealing with this issue, including my not replying to much of the email that came in, and it's my usual procedure to reply to as much of that email as is possible. So let's begin at the beginning. On October the 3rd, Anthony Sanchez sent me an email requesting to be my guest on the show. After checking a couple of other interviews that he had done on other shows, I decided to invite him to be my guest, and on Monday, October the 11th, I telephoned Mr. Sanchez and talked with him about his information and invited him to be my guest. He accepted for October 13th, and I put him on the calendar. The very next day, Tuesday, October the 12th, Sanchez spoke with at least one researcher and told him excitedly that he was going to be on my show the next night. Within about 3 hours, according to that researcher, he sent out an astounding and an alarming email to a lot of people, but not to me. I didn't find out about it until it was forwarded to me by one of you, a person who listens to our show. The email was sent on October the 12th, just one day after excitedly accepting the invitation to be on the Kevin Smith Show. Again, he sent it out to a lot of people, but he didn't send it to me. I found out about it by accident. Now, I've taken a photo of that email. Actually, it's a photo of the printout of the email because I didn't get it. Those who are watching our TV channel are looking at it right now. And although this photo is a little bit blurry, you can see that it was addressed from his email address. Now, I have deleted two names that are contained in this email. I've blacked them out simply because I have not asked these two people for permission to use their names on the air. So what was so startling about this email? Well, here it is. It says, "Farewell. It is with sad news that I report to all of you that the book, UFO Highway, and the website are permanently closed. I have undergone a devastating loss, and I am unable to continue on. I will no longer be in the research field, and I am stepping away permanently. I have given," and he uses a name, "I have given this person the copy of the interview." Now, he's referring to his interview with this U.S. Air Force colonel. And he continues, "For those who have my email and phone, please respect my privacy and do not contact me. I am dealing with a serious loss and cannot discuss anything with anyone. Please contact," and he gives the person's name, "for information on Dulce. Thank you, Anthony Sanchez." Okay, that's the email that went out. As I say, I was not sent this email. It was forwarded to me by one of our listeners. As soon as I got this email forwarded to me, I telephoned Mr. Sanchez at both his home telephone number and his cell telephone number. At both numbers, I got his voicemail, and I left a message. Now, this was on Tuesday, October the 12th, in the late afternoon. I left a message asking for Mr. Sanchez to phone me and let me know if this meant that he would not be my guest the next day, October 13th. He did not return either of those calls. He didn't return those calls on the 12th, and he didn't return those calls on the morning of October 13th. Well, I checked his website, and as his email had stated, it was closed, and there was a notice that it was closed permanently. On the morning of October 13th, I learned that Sanchez had been in touch with two other talk show hosts. Now, remember, I'm trying to get in touch with him because we have an appointment. We have a show to do. I haven't been notified by Mr. Sanchez of anything. And I'm trying to get in touch with him to find out what his plans are with reference to the show. He hasn't returned my calls, but I discovered that he has been in touch with two other talk show hosts. I telephoned one of those talk show hosts on the morning of the 13th and left a message with his secretary requesting that he phone me, and he did not do so. The other host was Jerry Pippin. I went to Jerry Pippin's website and found there on his website a notice about Anthony Sanchez and about his book. And the notice mentioned that the rumors, end quote, that Anthony Sanchez would not be publishing his book were incorrect, and that Sanchez would be publishing, but it would be published as an e-book on his website on Friday. Okay, that will be tomorrow. On his website, Sanchez had said he was closing it permanently. I had checked the website. It was closed. Had a notice that it was closed permanently. So when I saw this on Jerry Pippin's website, I immediately checked Mr. Sanchez's website. Voila! The site was back up and was online. Now, all of this was on the 13th, yesterday. So I telephoned Mr. Sanchez again and left a message for him to call me about being on the show. After all, it was October 13th, and he was scheduled to be my guest last night, October 13th. I also sent him an email. Now, he didn't return my calls or respond to my email. So with time running out, I decided that Sanchez was a no-go for the show last night, and I went to work to find a guest on very short notice who would step in and do the show with me. And fortunately, Preston Nichols was willing to do the show on such a short notice. We had a great time. But that didn't leave me much time to prepare for interviewing Preston Nichols. That interview was pretty much a shoot-from-the-hip interview. Without being able to research for the show, the guest and the audience get shortchanged because I simply do not have enough information in hand to be able to ask the best questions and to get the best information that the guest has for us. Nevertheless, the interview with Preston Nichols went off well. This morning, October 14th, I phoned Jerry Pippin and had a very interesting conversation with him about all this craziness. Jerry Pippin said that he had met Anthony Sanchez and had interviewed him, and he said that Sanchez seemed like a very stable and honest guy. He said that this entire episode had taken him by surprise as well. In the course of that conversation, I discovered that Sanchez had responded to email from Jerry Pippin and had also been in touch with yet another UFO researcher. That brings the total number of people with which Sanchez was communicating to 4. And since then, I have discovered the name of one more, so 5 people. That would be 2 talk show hosts and 3 researchers that he's been in communication with. But still, to this moment, right at this moment, I have not heard a whisper from Mr. Sanchez. Now, I've had well-known authors simply not show up for a show. I had an astronaut scheduled to be on the show and then, on the day of the show, deny that he had scheduled to be on the show. I had one very famous, big-name author and lecturer scheduled to be on the show, who then backed out because he discovered that we have something called the FCC here in the United States, and they have these rules about language, and some rather draconian fines as well. But I've never, ever had such starts, stops, spin-arounds, disappearances as this event. In the 10 years that I've been doing this show, this one takes the cake. This one tops them all. During one 24-hour period, we had a guest, then we had no guest. Then we had the guest saying he's not going to publish his book, and the guest saying the site is down permanently. The guest saying that he's going to step away from research in this field permanently. And we went from that to the idea that the book is going to be published as an e-book on Friday. We went from the site is down to it's back up. And the guest is still not responsive to our phone calls or emails. During that 24-hour period, I was receiving email from people who were speculating that the government must have really come down on him because of something in his book. I talked with one researcher by telephone, a researcher who knows Sanchez. And that researcher said to me, quote, they must have really scared him. Well, folks, we now know, and many of you have received an email now from Mr. Sanchez, and we now know that the government had nothing to do with this. Nothing. Nada. Nema nishta. Mr. Sanchez apparently has encountered some really traumatic difficulties. Because of the fact that someone forwarded to me an email that he sent out this afternoon, I know that he has announced what I had discovered. He has announced that the great loss, the devastating loss that he suffered had to do with his wife of 22 years leaving him. Now that would be, I think, upsetting for anyone. I think that would be, I don't know. There are some guys out there at 22 years of marriage that would say, wow, why doesn't she leave? But that's not the case with everybody. You know, a lot of people have happy marriages, and they're in love with each other. And then if something happens where one of them leaves, it's devastating, absolutely devastating. And I think it has been, quite honestly, devastating for Mr. Sanchez. And I said right up front that I have no desire to pile on here. And I'm not going to, but I'm going to give you some more details. We'll be back right after this. Continuing the details, as I said, I have no desire to just pile on, and I'm not going to. But I am going to continue giving you the details as I have them. At the beginning of this, the information that was coming in was, of course, very scant. I was getting it third hand, or second hand, I guess. People were forwarding things to me, and so that's the only way I knew what was going on. And I ran every possible scenario through my mind and analyzed it bit by bit. You know, I tend to think the best in every situation until the evidence just will not warrant that any longer. Little bits of information kept popping up, as I've detailed, and when added to the entire pile of information, it began to point to a scenario that is not flattering. I'm not going to say anything to pile on or unjustly kick Mr. Sanchez. And I'm willing to say right here that the scenario that appears correct to me may not be correct. Perhaps there is additional information that would make all this look different from where I'm standing. That's always a possibility. But frankly, I have to go with the information that I was provided. And the entire series of events makes this look like, possibly, a publicity stunt. Now, it may not be. I'm telling you what it looks like based on the information that we've gotten. Maybe this was not what it appears. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe this was not a massive, masterful manipulation of myself, two other talk hosts, two researchers. But at this moment, with the information I've been able to eke out of the cracks, it has that appearance. In fairness, I will acknowledge that only Mr. Sanchez knows the answers. Should he wish to come on the show and explain all this to you, I'll give him that opportunity. Not tonight, but I will give him that opportunity. He needs only to email me and let me know that he wants to rebut my report, and I'll provide him the airtime on this show to do so. Now, having said that, I must also say this does not, listen carefully to what I'm about to say, none of this negates any possible potential value of the book itself. When this book is finally available, I intend to purchase it and to read it. And I'm going to give you a review of it right here on the show. Now, whatever you may speculate or surmise from this strange sequence of events, remember something. Anthony Sanchez is a living, breathing person, just like you and me. He is a fellow member of our species, connected to us, a part of our lives. And whatever his troubles, I wish him only the very best outcome. This is but one of the high strangeness issues with which I have been dealing since Monday. There are more. This has truly been a bizarre week, but a good one nonetheless. Now, are all these high strangeness things that have been happening since Monday, are they all connected? Just maybe. The rational mind cannot help but ponder that possibility. Weirdness in our world. Ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you there have been other high strangeness issues with which we've been dealing, I am not exaggerating. And one has to wonder, since they all came in the same time frame, are they connected? Well, we shall see. We shall see. Yesterday was October 13th. And as you may remember, I had as guest on this show Stanley Fullam. And he is the fellow who wrote the book, you know, the former NORAD flight controller, who wrote the book called Challenges of Change. And here on the show, he shared information that he has shared on other shows as well. The information was that on October the 13th, or thereabout, we would see a display of UFOs over a lot of different locales, major cities around the world. Well, October the 13th came and went, and there were reports of UFOs over New York City, over San Francisco, and other places. I don't think, if people were expecting something like they saw in the movie Independence Day, that didn't happen. But and I think it's a good thing that didn't happen. But I've seen some of the pictures. I've seen some of the videos. You have too. It is possible, is it not, possible that in our audience are people who witnessed some of these UFO displays over some of the major cities. Maybe it wasn't even a major city, but you saw a UFO yesterday. Now, I'm going to open up the telephone lines here in just a moment. I'm going to ask that we discuss those things rather than Mr. Sanchez. Mr. Sanchez is dealing with a serious situation in his own life, as he detailed in an email he sent out to people this afternoon. And I felt that you needed the details of what happened here, but let's let him deal with his situation. Tonight, let's talk about UFOs that were said to have appeared yesterday, as I said, over New York City, over Chelsea, New York, over San Francisco, and probably a lot of other places. I've read scant reports, but some reports of UFOs being seen in other places. And what do you think? Do you think this was a fulfillment of what Stan Fulham said here on this show? Do you think that is the prediction that he made coming true? Or do you think that wasn't it? What do you think about that? Our telephone number is 623-444-5889. Now, there also is a report out there. I saw it yesterday that during the evening, during the nighttime of October 13th, there was an entire village in China that just disappeared. And one of the reports that I read about that said, I read several of them. One of them said that on October the 10th, there had been a major UFO sighting. It was bigger and brighter than anything they've seen in 30 years there. And then on the 13th, this village disappeared. I read another report, another account, that said the idea of this village disappearing was just a rumor, it says, on the network. And I think they mean it's just a rumor on the internet. It was a translation from a Chinese report. Another one that I read about that pointed out that this village is located very near a nuclear power plant. Now, the video that you will see on the internet related to this story, this video shows what looks like it could be a fire at a nuclear power plant out on the horizon. You see this bright blue light. There's one point at which there is a red flash of light and it looks like an explosion, then it goes back to blue. So maybe that's what it was. What do you think about it? 623-444-5889. You know, I also talked with Sally Page. Sally Page does a show here, a show on the Steel Eye Media Network on Tuesdays. And I was talking with her about some of this high strangeness that was going on here, and she said, boy, I'll tell you, it's going on here too. So, you know, lots of stuff going on, a lot of stuff going down. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi. I've been reading about those sightings, within the last couple of days, especially yesterday. And mm-hmm. The China thing you're talking about. If you were to view a disclosure, do you think that it has to be any bigger than what was happening yesterday? We're expecting, I guess most people are expecting, you know, the sky to fall with them or something.
Well, there's disclosure and then there's revelation. Disclosure is where people who have been keeping a secret open it up and disclose that secret to the rest of us. Revelation would be where the extraterrestrials just show up and reveal themselves to us. So I would not say that disclosure took place. Nobody revealed any secrets. But, is it a revelation to the rest of the world that, hey, we're here? Well, maybe. Personally, I would not need that. I think that debate's over. That's been over, maybe 60 years or so. But, I think there are a lot of people in the world who, they don't think past their shoelaces. And spend most of their time gazing at their shoelaces and never look up. So for folks like that, then perhaps UFO sightings yesterday may be revelation.
Well, that kind of... Now, I'm not going to get into the real religious aspect, but I can't help but see some similarities with you using the word revelation.
No. It only means to reveal. That's all it means.
I know, but the... this is just my personal observation, and I don't know if this to be true or not to be true.
Okay.
But the unveiling or revelation of the coming of the Christ, Buddha, whoever it is, we're pretty sure if this is going to happen, if these religious stories are true, it's not going to be through a government. So maybe this is the way they're doing it.
Well, again... when we use the word disclose or disclosure, at that point you're talking about the secret keepers doing something. When you talk about the extraterrestrials doing something, it's just them revealing themselves to us. That's not disclosure. They're not keeping a secret. It's just here we are.
Aren't they just as guilty of the secret keeping as our government is?
Oh, I don't know. Look, we've been seeing what happened yesterday is a bunch of people saw UFOs, but a bunch of people have been seeing UFOs for centuries now. Hang on, I'll talk with you about this on the other side of the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. We're talking about October the 13th, and we're talking about the sightings that many people had of UFOs yesterday. And on the line with me is Rusty from Michigan. Rusty, what I was saying when we went to break is that people have been seeing UFOs for centuries now, maybe for millennia, but we know that certainly since 1947, there's been a whole lot of UFO activity, and I would suspect by this point we could say millions of people have seen them. So I'm not real sure that what happened yesterday was anything spectacular. Now, let me throw this at you and see what you think about it. One of our listeners said to me in reference to this, in a conversation I had with him earlier this morning, that really UFOs are up there all the time, but because of the hype about October 13th, people were looking up and happened to notice. What do you think about that?
It's very possible. You mean that more were looking yesterday than normally look?
Yeah, it could be. You know, I think people certainly, you know, that had been all over the news about October the 13th. And because it was said by a former NORAD flight controller. So, you know, it was out there. It wasn't just in the UFO community. A lot of people knew about this. So it's possible that there were just a lot of people looking up yesterday. It's also possible that there was increased UFO activity yesterday.
Well, how many, including the sites from yesterday, how many nuclear sites over the world have been visited? Have they all been visited, or is the number just increasing, you know, every year or two, different ones being visited?
You know, I really don't know. Here in the United States, the fact of UFOs visiting nuclear facilities, whether it's a nuclear missile site, a nuclear weapons storage dump, or a nuclear reactor, all of that, they've really tried to keep a lid on, and pretty well did keep a lid on until the work of Robert Hastings came along.
Well, you know, because if you were going to, let's say, have a revelation, you call it a revelation that they show themselves, you would want to have each of these facilities under control because you don't want anybody shooting at you. So I was wondering what the number was that has been, you know, that they have tampered with so far around the world, you know, and I guess you can't know for sure, but it seems like it's, you know, like the one in China. I don't think that one's been visited before. I don't remember it being in the news.
Yeah, but, you know, you really, news media around the world, it's a little better in some places. There aren't many places where it's worse than here, but there are some places where it's a little better. Yet, news media around the world, until fairly recently, haven't tended to reveal those kinds of things to us.
Right.
So, you know, there's really, I don't guess at this point, any way of knowing how many nuclear sites have been visited by these UFOs. But I'll tell you this, I don't think that these extraterrestrials are really too concerned about anything we can shoot at them. I really don't.
Not if they've been to the site and have disabled it and so many of the reports show
wouldn't matter
on the sites and let them come back on. They know they can control that site.
Yeah, wouldn't matter. You can shoot missiles at them. If they don't want to be hit, they won't be. They will not be hit if they don't want to be hit.
That's possible. Well, you know,
I mean, look at the video from NASA from several years ago where that UFO comes across the screen. You see a flash of light. The UFO does a 45-degree immediate escape, and then you see some kind of light beam or projectile fly right where the UFO had been. And you know, if it doesn't want to be hit, you won't hit it.
You're talking about the Norway incident?
No, I'm talking about NASA and the space shuttle.
Oh, okay.
STS-4888. They changed the numbers around. You'll see it out there. But made huge news, and after that, there was no further live broadcast from the shuttle ever again.
Well, I do agree that yesterday was not the big disclosure, as far as I can tell at this moment. You know, I wouldn't call it the big disclosure.
Well, what do you think, though? Does it fulfill the prediction that was made?
I don't know. I'd have to. I guess to me, it would depend on the actual number that happened, and then I don't know how many number a normal number is. Do you know what that is? The normal?
No, I don't.
Per day?
I don't know, but there's a bunch of them every day worldwide. So let me ask you one more question. Did you see any UFOs yesterday?
No.
I didn't either. I didn't either.
You know something? I looked.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. I wanted to see if it was going to happen.
Yep.
All right, man, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Yep.
All right. interesting points. 623-444-5889. What about October 13th, the prediction that there would be a lot of UFO activity on October the 13th? Do you think that what has been reported fits the bill? Do you think it qualifies as okay, the prediction came true? Now, if you don't think so, what do you think it would take for you to say the prediction came true? And, you know, what were you expecting to happen? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Bill from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Hello, Bill. Are you a first-time caller?
Nope, I've called a couple times before, but it seems like it's a few months in between.
All right. Well, Bill, what's on your mind?
Well, I was going to call because I didn't see any UFOs, but yesterday here in Oklahoma on the 14th, we had an earthquake of a magnitude of 4.3, which for Oklahoma is pretty darn significant, and it lasted for about 10 seconds. I was at work, and our whole building shook, and everyone was like, oh, what was that, you know? And so I thought that was pretty interesting, and I would call in and share it with everybody. I'm not sure when the last earthquake of that magnitude was, but if there has been one, it's been a long time, I'm sure.
And you said it's a 4.3?
Yep.
And could you feel the earthquake?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had actually never felt one before, and I work in a cubicle, and my whole cubicle shook, and I thought my cubicle partner bumped into my wall, but apparently everyone looked outside their cubicle. It looked like a bunch of moles poking out of holes. I was thinking the same thing.
Was there any...
Also poked their heads out.
Okay, now was there any damage to property there in Oklahoma City?
Not that I'm aware of. The earthquake actually centered a little ways south of the city metro area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more intense down there. But to my knowledge, they didn't mention anything significant on the news or anything about damage.
Was it scary for you?
Not really, because it was real quick, and it was quiet. It wasn't nothing real loud or anything. Some people thought they heard, like a bang or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't hear that. I was sitting in my chair and had my arms on my desk, and I just felt the whole thing just move back and forth, and I had never experienced that before, and I was like, wow, that was interesting.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know, I mean, maybe the UFO showing up was for something to monitor our planet-wise, like maybe they were monitoring, you know, something with our planet, not necessarily disclosure to our race or anything. Who knows?
Well, you know, that's a good point. According to Stan Fulham, the reason they were going to show up was just so people could get used to the idea of seeing them, because they're about to start working in our atmosphere to clean up the carbon dioxide. That's his story.
Well,
I'm
glad, because we sure aren't, which is sad.
Well, that's true. We dump lots and lots and lots of pollutants into our air, our water, and our soil. And, you just can't keep going like that forever.
Nope, sure can't. But they're going to try to hang on as long as they can to that system so they can make as much money and maintain that power as long as they can, I guess.
Yeah, I think they will. Bill, thanks for the call.
Welcome.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you're here. I am so sorry you missed the first hour. But I'm glad you're here now. On the telephone with me is Tony from Oklahoma. Now, the way I know that is when I went to break, the phone was ringing. So I asked him, and he said, it's Tony. Or is it Terry?
Tony.
All right, Tony, what's on your mind?
Two things, the UFO thing and the earthquake. This was the second earthquake this year. The first one was, I guess, about 3 months ago, and that one, the epicenter was 40 miles east of Oklahoma City, and I felt that one here in Norman. And that lasted maybe 2 to 5 seconds. It was kind of really quick, and it was like a wave.
Uh-huh.
And that, I think that registered somewhere around a 5. And the one day before yesterday woke me up. It was a shaking. It wasn't a wave, but things were actually shaking, and I could actually hear it.
Uh-huh.
And it lasted for about 10 seconds, and the epicenter was 6 miles east of Norman, the epicenter.
Okay, now is this the same earthquake that the other caller told us about?
Yes.
Okay, now how far is Norman from Oklahoma City?
Roughly 20 to 25 miles.
Okay.
And the USGS says it was a 5.1. I think it's the state of Oklahoma said it was a 4.1 or a 4.5, I forget.
Uh-huh.
But the USGS said it was a 5.1.
Well, you felt it. What was it?
Say again?
You felt it. What do you think it was? 5.1 or 4.5?
Oh, hell, I don't know. Since it's only the second earthquake I've ever felt in my life, I don't know what the difference would be.
But well, just think about this now.
Bigger.
Just think about this. Oklahoma, with all these earthquakes, Oklahoma is kind of becoming the new California, isn't it? So you can enjoy the free ride of the earthquake, just like California, without all the taxes.
Yeah, but we got the tornadoes, too.
Well, I mean, you just have a few more thrills.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about yesterday, the 13th,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that was anything special. It's not what I would have expected from what the guy said. You know, I expected that, not that I expected it, no. But if anything would have happened, I would have expected to see ships, you know, over major cities, like he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what happened.
So do you think that a lot of people in the UFO community that are saying, oh, it happened, you think they're sort of reaching there?
I think so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like you or somebody said before, maybe it was, you know, a lot more people were looking up and saw things in the sky, whether they were UFOs or not,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, anybody's guess. But from what the guy predicted, that's not a fulfillment of that prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because it was just maybe a few more sightings than usual.
Or maybe a few more reports. Maybe just a few more reports because more people were looking up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But there was no, I didn't hear any reports about any ships hovering over New York City or Los Angeles or London or, you know, any place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would have expected from what he said.
So if for you, then it would have to be sort of a Independence Day type thing.
Something closer to that, yes.
All right, fair enough. Well, Tony or Terry or whoever you may be, I want to thank you for the call.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care now.
All right. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. What do you think about this October 13th thing? It was just, you know, about a year ago where we went through a prediction like this, and I think her name was Blossom Goodchild made the prediction, and then nothing happened. And lots of folks, you know, really came down hard on her about this. What do you think about yesterday? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I can say what I want to say in 2 minutes so everyone else can call in. And my first thing was, I think whoever said the 13th was, like, saying something was going to happen with UFOs was a fraud. I can point you out a UFO any day of the week if you want it in certain areas. Jeff Woolwine and some of the other people around can. It's no biggie what happened. And I also wanted to say that I don't know if it was 2 days ago. I'm going to hypothesize that. But Kevin said that Art Bell was the king of paranormal radio. And I wanted to put one thing in there as an interjection. In about 2003, I think it was around then, I was looking for online radio to listen to the show while I was doing other things. And Art Bell offered it on radio, okay, whatever. I didn't even remember the site. And Kevin Smith offered it for free. Now, I tried about 3 shows before that, and it was like kids. I went on to the Kevin Smith Show, it was free, and I became addicted to it. The problem was, I didn't sign up to be a Kevin Smith Show member for about 3 years. I've had to regret that for the last, like, 5 years. And, you know, it was really fun. Like, there was, like, Phoenix and the lights going on, and everything was happening. And the problem was, if the mass media gets a hold of this, and there's disclosure, it's going to screw up everything. Like, I like it secret. I like it Area 51. I like the X-Files. The media screws up everything. I mean, they're going to talk about what are the aliens like as far as toothpaste and this and that, and we met an alien. What does he think about gay rights? And I'm thinking to myself, everything has been perfect. So, like, history, if you look in the 1920s and 30s before they had all these laws and stuff and all these agendas, you can get more information out of there than you could in, like, the last 80 years, and we refer to that. Well, that's, like, the new genre of the Kevin Smith Show. While Art Bell was charging about $14.99 to listen online, Kevin was doing it for free, and he does it for about $7.99, which is about 2.5 lattes a month. It's less than 1 movie ticket. So, like, get on board, and I have to say, I think the guy's a fraud, and I could be 50-50 on that. But, you know, we're a show of controversy, and that's exciting. And my thought as being somebody that's, like, instinctive, I don't think that was anything. I could have went outside and saw a UFO wherever I wanted in certain places. So I'm going to leave it at that. I could be wrong, but at least donate, or if you don't want to donate, become a member because, like, whatever. Peace out.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, you can listen to the show for free online, on your cell phone. We're on AM and FM stations, shortwave station. There's a lot of different ways to listen to the show. You can listen for free. But what he's talking about is our members area. In the members area, you can watch the show. And then if you miss that, well, we capture it and we put it up online. And it's up there for 24 hours. So you, for the next 24 hours, you can still watch the show that we just did. Or you can listen to the latest show. Lots of other stuff in there. Anyway, it's $6.99. Actually, $6.95. I was overcharging you 4 cents there. $6.95 a month. really inexpensive. All right, 623-444-5889. That is the number to call. What do you think about this October the 13th? Now, folks, I'll make a statement here, and you can call me and tell me how wrong I am. It's quite all right, okay? I don't eat people. But here's the statement. I think December the 22nd, 2012, we're going to be talking about December the 21st, kind of like we're talking about October the 13th right now. I really do. I don't. But look, if you think I'm wrong about that, please feel free to say so. Here at this show, we believe in freedom of thought, freedom of speech, as long as it's civil. Okay? We don't stomp anybody here. But as long as it's you present it, you know, in a civil manner, you don't have to agree with me. That's not a law. Okay? I would oppose such a law. Leonardo in Puerto Rico has sent me a flash message. He said, yes, okay. I just got home and I missed the first hour of your great show. Did you see the video of the supposed blue light UFO and the whole village that disappeared in China? Leonardo, hang on to your hat, and I will talk about that right after this call, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Yeah, Ryan.
Oh, boy. I'm not a big fan of date predictions and ufology. I just don't have much faith in these predictions because people have been trying to make them since the very beginning, and the accuracy rate isn't very good.
So I take it you don't think yesterday was a fulfillment of the prediction.
Well, I think there needs to be more investigation done first. This is just my personal feeling about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be more investigation done about the happened over in New York. I did learn something today, though, that there was a story that appeared on the engagement party at a school where they launched balloons. But what I found out about it was that was 25 miles away. I talked to a MUFON investigator in Colorado who found out that was 24 miles away. And the balloons got escaped from that party at 1 o'clock, and the thing happened at 1:30. So I don't know. That's a long ways to travel in 25 minutes or 30 minutes. So I don't know. I think there needs to be more investigation about it. That's just my personal opinion before I say that this was a fulfillment of a prediction.
Well, the thing with the balloons, if they traveled 25 miles in 30 minutes, they were traveling at just over 50 miles per hour. That's pretty fast for a balloon.
Yeah, I think it's pretty likely that they weren't from that mm-hmm. party and that engagement party. That because if you go on the map and pin down the locations, it's pretty far away. So, that's just my personal opinion. But you know, I was reading on Facebook that. Today is James Horak's birthday.
And oh, is that right?
I wanted to say happy birthday to James Horak if he's out there listening.
All right, I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
So, happy birthday, Mr. Horak. He's been a big help and contribution to the Kevin Smith Show. And let's see, we've got 15 days till the end of the month. Hopefully we'll be able to keep you on the air. We won't run into any more problems.
Well, I hope so too. I certainly do. All right, Ryan, thank you for the call.
Okay, Kevin. Great show.
Thanks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the answer to Leonardo from Puerto Rico. He says he wanted to know if I've seen this video of the supposed blue light UFO and the whole village disappeared in China. Yeah, I have. That video to me does not look like a UFO. That video to me looks like possibly a fire at a nuclear plant. It's bright blue, but if you watch it all the way through, you'll see a place where this bright blue ball of light out there on the horizon, suddenly it's red and flashes like an explosion, and then it goes back to that bright blue. There is a nuclear power plant near that village, and I think probably what happened is there was a problem at the power plant, and they probably moved in, evacuated the village, and secured the area. That would make sense to me. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hey. As far as the 13th,
uh-huh.
You know, it's possible. You know, he did specify that it didn't have to be the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It's thereabout that, you know, it could be...
You're exactly right.
Intros?
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. So those may be just scouts, huh?
And as far as, you know, the one thing it did prove is, you know, how they always try to say everybody's going to panic. Even when they did interviews with people on the street, even the ones that were skeptical and saying, well, it could be a balloon, it could be something else, I don't think it's UFO, and then they stop and they turn around and say, but if it is, as long as they're friendly, that's fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a couple ways, it is a step forward. And it did hit ABC News
mm-hmm.
and CNN.
And you know what? That could have been a planned test.
It could be. That's what I was thinking.
And just to see.
A general intro.
Mm-hmm.
That it could be, as the month goes on or whatever, it will start building up, so it won't be so shocking as they build up. If they suddenly showed up, like Independence Day, it would be shocking to a lot of people.
Well, but look, something like Independence Day would be shocking to me.
A little bit and start looking for it.
Something like Independence Day would be shocking to me. And I deal with UFO information every day.
Yeah.
You know, but Independence Day would get my attention.
Well, yeah, well, people, because we do it too, and we see it, like you said, just about any day of the week, you can look up and see something.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is just enough where you're not sure what it is. Maybe they'll start getting a little closer and a little closer. You know?
Yeah, it could be.
And pretty soon it would just be more acceptable to people, is, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, the reaction of the crowd, as you pointed out, was pretty amazing because it showed how widespread acceptance is. A lot of people accept it.
I didn't see any negative reactions to it.
No. No, I didn't either.
If anything, I saw hopeful.
Yeah, yeah, I hope it's them, yeah.
Yeah, I've even heard a couple of them say that. Well, I hope so.
Yeah. Leah, thank you for the call.
I found that positive.
Well, I agree with you. I think it was positive, too. Hey, thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
You have a good night.
Thank you. All right, folks. What do you think about it? Do you think, number one, see, this adds another question. Do you think that this October the 13th and the UFO sightings, do you think that fulfills the prediction? Were there enough sightings, and does it fulfill the prediction? Number two, do you think it's possible that this whole thing was staged in order to see how people would react? Like it was a mass test. What do you think? 623-444-5889. Mark in New Zealand says, on any one day, how many UFO sightings are made each day worldwide? Don't know. A bunch, though. Were the sightings over New York and San Francisco reported on primetime mainstream? Well, eventually, yes. If not, then what would be the point of staging events if the size of your captive market was left to chance, comprising of the odd individual here and there who just happened to look up at the right time. Well, what you would do, of course, it was on major media eventually, but what you would do, it wouldn't matter if major media was there or not, what you would do is you would have your operatives out in the crowd monitoring whether people noticed, monitoring if they noticed, what was their reaction. That's how that happens. And they, you know, they look like just everybody else out there, but they're monitoring. So if the events were part of the government's so-called disclosure efforts to introduce the wider population to the existence of UFOs, then October 13th has been an unmitigated flop. Only those who were aware of the predictions for October 13 would salivate and make far more of the reported sightings than they deserve. Why, by the way, were the only sightings over U.S. cities? Well, I don't know that they were, Mark, and I'm certainly not defending this as being a fulfillment of the prediction. But I just don't know if there were sightings over other cities in other parts of the world. I know about the ones here because I'm here. So I don't know. And I think in the next few days, reports will come out. We'll know what, you know, whether it was worldwide or not. But you make some good points. Tours Baron Copley in the United Kingdom. It says the live video feed is out, but not to worry, so let me check on something. Okay, well, the live video feed is going out from here, so don't know what to tell you. She says, I find it highly suspicious about the New York City sightings. It was interesting to watch it break on the network sites. If anything actually did happen that could be classed as high strangeness, we'd all know about it pretty sharpish. And I certainly don't think the people vanished from that village for any strange reason apart from maybe a reactor going China. Literally. Yeah, literally, because it was in China. All a distraction to see how we react. About the only thing that came out of it was the fact that more people were looking up. If we did this more often, who knows what we would see? Yeah, you know, I kind of tend to be there. I sort of tend toward that line of thinking on this. You know, I used to live in Phoenix, Arizona. I lived in Phoenix, Arizona from 2004 until 2010. There are people who have lived their whole lives in Phoenix and will tell you, I never saw a UFO. If they're out there, why didn't I see them? Well, just watch them when they go outside. They never look up. Now, I was in Phoenix, and I saw UFOs out there. One of them was pointed out to me by a retired Air Force guy. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Folks, yesterday was a big day. It was a day for us to look up, right? And lots of people were looking up. Now, I was saying when we went to break, you know, I lived out in Phoenix for a number of years. I was not there when the famous Phoenix Lights incident took place. I was not living in Phoenix then. But for 6 years I lived in Phoenix. They never saw any UFOs. But there's UFOs in the skies over Phoenix. Maybe I should not say regularly. Maybe I should say frequently. On an irregular basis, but frequently. And I've seen them. Jeff Woolline, who's been here on this show many times, has videotaped them and gotten some really good videotapes of some really bizarre things in the skies over Phoenix. And yet there are people living in Phoenix who have lived there all their lives and say, I never saw one. But they don't look up. They don't look up. There is an airplane built by the Russians, so large that you can take the wings off of a 747 and put it inside of this airplane. Have you ever seen it? Well, it does fly over American skies from time to time. It's used anytime there's something so large to move that other airplanes can't move it, they haul it in this thing. It's an Anatov. I've seen it. I've been inside one. Absolutely massive airplane. Have you ever seen it? It does fly over American skies. If you've never seen it, you never looked up. And the same thing could be said for a lot of things in the sky. People don't look up. When I got back from East Timor in 2004, the changes that had taken place in this country were so massively drastic that I felt like I was coming to a foreign country. I really did. And one of the things I noticed, and it's eased up some, it's not as bad as it was, but one of the things I noticed back then was people on the street didn't look at each other. They would walk down the street, and if they had a friend with them, walking with a friend, they'd look at each other. But they didn't look at anybody else. As they'd walk down the street, they'd look at the sidewalk in front of them. Now, if you spend your life looking down, how do you expect to see what's up? So yesterday, because of the prediction, a lot of people were looking up. A lot of people were noticing. They were paying attention. A lot of, in the UFO community, especially, there are people that, you know, well, is this true? Is it really going to happen? So they're all looking up. I was looking up yesterday. We all wanted to know if it's really going to happen. Consequently, there are people in various places that said they did see something. They saw some things in the sky. Now, technically, those are UFOs. You do understand that only means it's an unidentified object that's flying. Unidentified flying object. You don't know what it is. It's there. It's in the sky. That is a UFO. Unfortunately, lots of people think UFO. They immediately think little green man, and they automatically then think alien. That is such an unfortunate shortcut of rational thinking. But nevertheless, it's the best mushrooms can do, and that's at the top end of the mushroom IQ. But it was a good thing that people were looking up. It's a good thing. So even if whatever happened yesterday, even if that's not a fulfillment of the prediction, something good came out of it, as has been pointed out by a couple of our callers. One thing is that people were aware and looking up. Another thing is that in places where they saw something, there was no panic. There was, you know, it was sort of matter of fact, and yeah, okay, that's cool. And, you know, I think for the most part, I think that's the reaction you're going to get with UFO disclosure. I also think it's possible that by whatever means, and I don't have any idea by what means, but by whatever means, it is possible that what people saw yesterday may have had a terrestrial origin as a test of public temperament and opinion about these things. You know, there are places on the planet where UFO disclosure, I think, certainly has a high probability of causing panic and chaos, but not too many places. I think there are some, but not too many places. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello?
Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hayfleek.
Okay, you're listening to the radio. You need to turn it off and listen to your telephone.
Okay, I got you now.
All right. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm Rick, and I'm calling from Gloucester, Mississippi.
Okay, Rick.
I'm looking at an article here from the Daily News. It's from Leslie Keene, or Kane's website.
Okay.
Excuse me. And the headline says, UFO? Question mark. New York City kids say no. Mysterious floating orbs were escaped balloons from teacher's engagement party.
Yeah, we talked about that just a few minutes ago. The balloons escaped from an engagement party 25 right. miles away from where people were seeing things in the sky. The time difference from the time that they escaped till the time people were seeing things in the sky is about 30 minutes. So these balloons would have had to travel 25 miles in 30 minutes. That's in excess of 50 miles an hour. That would be one heck of a wind.
That's a heck of a wind for sure.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what people were seeing in New York City, but I don't think it was those balloons.
Really? You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
It describes the balloons as pearl iridescent balloons. And all the kids, when they saw that report, they said, these people are crazy, man. Look at those things. Those are our balloons.
Okay.
Maybe.
There were people on the street that said, I think those are balloons. However, they traveled 25 miles in 30 minutes. That's a heck of a wind.
That's a wind, for sure.
And when you look at these folks on the ground, they were not experiencing high wind.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So
I didn't know that. Hardly any wind on the ground, but apparently a lot of wind up where the balloons were, or whatever the thing was.
Well, you know, that would be a fertile ground for research for you to check into it and see at say 1,000 feet and above what was the wind speed and direction of wind.
Yeah, you know. You got a lot of wind 1,000 feet above you, though. You probably have some wind down where you are also, right?
Well, you would think so. It wouldn't necessarily be the case, but you would think under normal circumstances, yes.
Okay, well, I just wanted to bring this report to your attention.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And it could be those. It could be balloons, and it could be that there was a wind of in excess of 50 miles an hour that carried them. You know, that's always possible, but it wasn't down on the ground.
I just, you know, I like to use an old Occam's razor, right?
Yeah, Occam's razor is a good thing to use, especially when we're talking about UFOs.
Right.
Sure is. Hey, thanks for the call, Rick.
Now you bet.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. 888-223-4599 is our toll-free number in the USA and Canada. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you may wish to send me a flash message. If you wish to do so, go to my website. When you get to my website, you'll see the picture, the graphic about tonight's show. And to the right of that, you'll see the link that says Flash Message. You can click that and send me a flash message. I'll read it and we'll comment on it. but you must be outside of the USA and outside of Canada in order for that to work for you. Okay? If you're in the USA, if you're in Canada, we have telephones for you, and I'll even pay for the call if you need me to. Well, I think, you know, it was a good thing what happened yesterday. It sort of, to me, has the feeling that maybe it was a test to see what public temperament and sentiments would be. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was not planned as a test, but whatever it is that happened certainly serves as, you got test results there. It certainly serves as an example of what public sentiment and temperament would be if suddenly we were given disclosure about UFOs and extraterrestrials. I think all you have to do is just look at the people on the street and how they responded, and you see that nobody's panicking. Nobody's running screaming into the night or jumping out of windows and committing suicide. None of that. I do think there are places on Earth where you could have some of that. But for the most part, you would not have that. People know about UFOs. That's the thing. You know, I've been saying this for a long time, haven't I? That the public is way out in front, way, way out in front of the government on this. The government's still believing, you know, some nonsense that was written for them back in the 1960s. They're still buying into that. I mean, look, the world has changed, guys. And people are not frightened by the prospect of UFOs. They're not frightened by the prospect of extraterrestrials. Maybe a little bit apprehensive, but not frightened. Not frightened. And so maybe, even if this was not planned as a test, maybe the guys in the government will notice. I think it'll be a good thing. I made a statement earlier. That statement is that on December the 22nd, I think we'll be sitting and talking about December the 21st, 2012, kind of like we're talking about October 13. There are folks who worry themselves sick about this. They're absolutely terrified of what's coming. You don't know what's coming. Nobody knows what's coming. You don't know. And so there's no reason to be fearful of the future, is there? I mean, look, you might not even live till December the 21st, 2012. Does that scare you? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and that means we have time for one or two more calls if you'd like to call in and tell us what you think about October the 13th or what you think about this Chinese village. You know, the we had a caller, I believe it was Rick from Mississippi, who mentioned Occam's Razor, and I subscribe to that. You know, Occam's Razor is a really simple philosophy. It basically says the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. It says it in other words, that the simplest, most direct explanation of something is generally going to be the truth. And that's generally true. It really is. Using Occam's Razor, when you use Occam's Razor with October the 13th, you sort of come back with a shrug of the shoulders and I don't know. And we really don't know. I mean, I don't know if maybe this were an official test. I don't know that. It certainly would have been profitable as a test. And even if it wasn't officially a test, they should take note. I don't know if this was a fulfillment of the prediction. But generally speaking, these predictions like this don't pan out. Think of, we also had callers that, several callers that mentioned, you know, I've heard these kinds of things before, these predictions. Yeah, think of all the times you've heard predictions like this, and it didn't pan out. And I think that's the case also when we talk about 2012. You know, there are going to be earthquakes. The earth is going through some changes, some growing pains, I guess you could say, or maybe some dying pains, I don't know. So the earth's going through some changes. We're passing through the galactic medium in 2012. The sun's doing weird stuff. I mean, but this is a cycle. This happens every 13,000 years. About every 13,000 years, something like that. And this is a cycle. And the fact that you and I are here means someone survived 13,000 years ago, right? Or we wouldn't be here. So, you know, I just don't see any reason for us to panic over 2012, just as I see no reason for us to panic over UFOs. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hi, John.
Hi. I'm going to come in not really on track with what you're talking about, except for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you're talking about a test?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for me, the Gulf oil incident was a real test to see what the residents would do along there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this is off track, but how do I put this? There's not much reaction from most people that live in the Gulf. There's only a handful of people that are walking around documenting that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
if you're actually talking about a test, that test has been executed. And as far as I can tell, those who executed the Gulf oil test are seeing not much reaction from the people that live there. So without even going to a UFO thing or whatever, it's pretty outrageous, and there's actually not much reaction along the Gulf Coast. People are putting up with what's going on and that kind of thing. And
well, that would be a test of an entirely different set of circumstances. If that's a test, then what they are testing is people's willingness to put up with martial law type rules, and that's a different set of circumstances. You know, like, okay, the media can't go out there and video and get close to this stuff. We're not going to let them report. You can't walk on the beach. Don't come here. Don't be here. I can't tell you who I work for. That's all martial law type stuff, even though it was not officially martial law. And so that's, if it's a test, it's a test of people's reaction to martial law. But this thing yesterday, if it's a test, would be a test of people's reaction to being told about extraterrestrials and UFOs and their response to the idea that UFOs may actually be real. I think we're probably subjected to a lot of tests, sociological tests, all the time and just don't realize it. But I think they've got a lot of tests that are going to be running real rapidly, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years. And they're going to do that because time's running out to implement their world government.
I agree with you there.
So I think there's desperation in the camp for those folks. And
yeah.
I think they'll subject us to a lot of different tests. But if that was a test yesterday, if it was, then the results are, hey, you know, people can handle it. People can handle it. It's no big deal.
I guess what I was getting at with the Gulf Coast thing was, if I was in a situation where, like, my livelihood was destroyed and I can't even walk where I'm used to walking, I mean, that is a huge test. And
yep.
And so I would say the residents that live down there, because I'm not seeing them rising up, that's a failed test.
Oh, it's a successful test. If it's a test, if it was truly a test, then it signaled success for those who may be planning martial law.
Yeah.
Because what it says is that the people have a Bohica mindset. Do you know what Bohica is?
No.
B-O-H-I-C-A. It stands for bend over, here it comes again.
Okay.
And so they have a Bohica mindset. It's just like, oh, okay, all right, just, you know, here we go. And so, you know, if it's a test for those who are interested in implementing martial law, then it was certainly showed that they could successfully do it in that area.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not happy about saying that.
Well, I'm not either, but, you know, people get on to me all the time. They say I'm insulting when I talk about mushrooms. Well, there you go.
Well, yeah.
You know? Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. Look, not everybody's a mushroom, but there's a bunch of them. Bunches of mushrooms. And they all have a Bohica mindset. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you for being here tonight. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have enjoyed it. And I hope you'll join us for each and every show, particularly tomorrow night. As we leave the airwaves tonight, my best wishes and hopes for Mr. Sanchez. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.